Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve Patton from Gilbert, Arizona.
In the prior podcast, yesterday's podcast, we were talking about the disciples, and these are the 12 that Jesus hand-selected to send him out two by two, and he's going to warn them of the hard duty that they're going to have to serve him, basically like a soldier would be in our armies. These would be people representing Jesus, and it would not be an easy service. We finished the last series, a podcast on a bit of a down note because there are some things that we are going to go through that are going to test us. They're going to test our mettle. And you think it's great to be a Marine, you're going to find out this because this is better. This is even a stronger test because sometimes we will have to go through things alone. But never alone, because God is always with us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. But it will seem like we're alone. And we went through the meaning of being a new son of God, being under teachers, being a disciple, actually being a slave, being a beginner, where we start off like in a company, you start off at the lowest position, maybe washing dishes. And you do it in a bakery. I don't know if you ever washed dishes in a bakery, but those are some of the meanest pans to clean. And your little kid and his scrawny arms is trying to get muscles, and you're working like crazy in there, and people, maybe they're picking at your work a little bit. Are you going to stick it out and graduate and become a chief baker or something like that? But Steve was commenting when we left that he noticed something that we had read way back at the beginning in chapter 5 that actually talks about the same subject, and he wanted to come back and talk about it and give us some promises concerning what we're going to be going through to be one of Christ's children, one of the in the family.
Back in Matthew 5, when Jesus starts off on the mountain, I'll just read that. It says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed,'" or it's that word Makarios, "'exceedingly happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And then in verse 10 it said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. And blessed are those are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." And it says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And when we read in Matthew 10, there's a lot more details concerning this persecution and people insulting you and saying all kinds of evil against you. And Jesus didn't say that in chapter 5, but he goes into more details about that in chapter 10. But keeping in mind that going through those things, the outcome of that is you will still be blessed or exceedingly happy.
And you're maybe not happy at first, but as you mature and you get a bit of a tough skin, tough hide, you know, to go through those things, and you start weighing the costs, and you really weigh where your true friends are. You weigh what's really important. Pleasing the world is not. And look at the way the world's going, and being a pleaser of the world is. The world is very fickle, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They can't even make up their mind what the most popular color to paint their house. It starts off one color, and now white's in, and of course that'll be ugly later in the next 10 years, and they'll go on to some other fad. You'll never please people.
Yeah.
So, but to please God is out of this world. What were you going to say?
No, just that. I was just going to say that.
It's out of this world. So we're still in 10, and let's just read through the end, and it talks about our service too, and we're continuing on, but we really don't. He's just introducing service. This is not the book of service. That'll be the book of Mark, but he's telling us about it. He's, you know, like in the first grade, you'll learn the first part of reading and writing and arithmetic, and then you go on to the second grade and you learn more of it. But there's a stronger emphasis as you grow up. To then go on and mature, but it'll be a different focus. Like our focus here is that Jesus is the King; it's His rules, and this comes down from heaven. They're heavenly rules; they're not like this earth. They're not fickle and changing, and they're eternal and they're glorious. And they'll bring about unity. They'll bring about peace. They'll bring about righteousness and joy. And then the next book in Mark, we're going to get into the service, but it'll still talk about it in this book a little bit to get us ready for the next step. This is a bit kind of like going through the big picture first and start to get you ready for the next step in the Lord. So 34 to 42 of chapter 10 of Matthew.
Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven.
Now we're going to start in the next context, 34 through 39. We're going to read two contexts and then 40 on to 42.
Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his soul will lose it, and he who loses his soul for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in my name of a disciple, amen, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward.
You know, Steve and I were talking on the way over here, and there's this one family where the husband and wife, there's a danger of them separating. And a friend of theirs, he's in one of the fellowships in this town, he was worried about it, and he called up to get some advice, but it seemed like, to me, the way I was reading the conversation with Steve, we were talking about it, is that they wanted to intervene and stop this divorce. But it's interesting about this. Now, God, what does God say about divorces? Does he like it?
He hates it.
He hates it.
Hate. That's a straight line.
From God.
I can get that one.
That's not a dislike. He hates divorce. But there are some times that this conversation really, and this is a scripture actually that popped into my head, and I hadn't read it yet today, but actually I was thinking about it when Steve was talking to me. Sometimes God actually, this happens. Because in a house, there might be one person that wants to serve the Lord and the others don't. And I've definitely seen that. And it'll cause division in the house. And people have to decide whether they want to follow God or whether they are, and maybe one hates God. Are you gonna be joined to that? And, or are you going to make a choice to serve God first above all else, which might lead to a divorce? And you could actually, let's say the divorce, and I'm not saying God is for divorce, but it's happening, but it actually could mean a person's salvation, that you're telling them that they have to stay with that spouse. Let's say they have started worshiping another god and they've started blaspheming God. And like Ananias and Sapphira, the husband lied to the Holy Spirit and he died. And the wife had a choice whether she was going to agree, because they planned ahead what they were going to say. You know, like how people go, they talk to a detective, and this is a story we're going to tell them. And Sapphira stuck to the story, didn't she? She didn't go with God. She went with the lie. And so God, and I think this is what God is talking about. Are you going to go, if your spouse or child or whatever, and I know this is likely the hardest decision you'll ever make in your life. Let's say your spouse wants to murder somebody. Let's say that. And are you going to go along with them? Or are you going to, I'm making it pretty easy, you know, pretty definite. Or that wants to rob a bank or wants to overthrow a country or kill a president or whatever. Are you going to go along with them? Or are you going to say no? And, you know, stop it right there. And so if the person is bent on being evil, how we'd all love to have seen Mrs. Hitler stand up to her husband and bop him in the head. You know, we'd have liked to have seen that, right? And somebody goes, well, God doesn't like divorce. Well, Hitler needed a good bop on the head. I'm being ridiculous, but I'm not being ridiculous in a way. So what about this? How about even a person trying to save a marriage where the husband or the wife is evil or going to do something evil to tell them to stay with them and obey their husband and try to save their marriage? What do you think about that number? Did you think about that when we were talking together?
Yeah, I mean, once you brought that up, I mean, you're sort of trying to... Not sort of. It's like getting into God's, trying to play God's, what he's supposed to do or what he can do.
These are some tough decisions. It's interesting, it's in the first step that he brings this up, isn't it?
He wants to get this straightened out.
that look on Andy's face.
He wants to get this straightened out.
Yeah, he does. Are you going to be with, are you going to fight to the end? Or do you even need to come to boot camp, right? Are you going to be a good Marine?
And it's not like these are possibilities that are possible, that maybe it could happen. Maybe it could. He says, I have come to set a man against his father. Choose your father or me. Yeah. Choose your daughter or the mother. Choose. We read that scripture earlier today. He says, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. Can I go back and see my father? Let me go back and see my friends. In another place, it says that. Can you go back and see my friends? He says, if you turn around and look, you're not worthy for the kingdom.
Anything above God.
Anything. He wants to be number one, and he's saying, I'm number one about five times in a row here. Choose.
You know what? The answer is really simple, because I love my parents. I really love them, but my parents didn't create me. God did. God gave my parents to me, and he gave me the most amazing parents to me. I'm prejudiced, so I'm going to say they're better than your parents or your parents, and I hope you say the same about your parents. But I wouldn't change my parents for the world, but my parents didn't babysit me. They cared for me. They loved me. They wanted better for me. They laid down their lives for me. But God is my father. He was their father. And my mother is, of course, his body, his family, the family of God is the nursing mother. It says that in the Bible. And so to really understand that, it makes it a bit easier to understand. And some men like Hitler were wicked parents. And there's other ones, you know, around Mussolini, on and on. Ivan the Terrible, it's Ivan the Terrible. They were wicked. But there's one true God, and he's called God and Father. And it's really the Creator, God the Creator, the Father, is saying he's dominant. He's to be number one. And you've thought about that. Have you guys reconciled that in your hearts?
Well, and just think, this is the first layer. You go, is this the last layer? No, this is the first layer. A man's foes will be those of his own household. And you can just sit down with that and go, okay, he just said that. If you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. This is the first layer. I know that it says more stuff later, but it's interesting to look at this because this is the first piece.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking, isn't it?
Yes. This last chapter 10 is...
When you start doing it this way, the way that Ivan Panin revealed that this is the introduction, you won't understand the next one until you understand this, it does make this really outstanding. And, you know, like, why would you want to train a Marine and put him through all that if he's not going to be a man's man? And a lot of those people laying down their lives, they were exceptional people, absolutely exceptional. But this is even more so.
And, you know,
what does it say about the scribes and the Pharisees? And they teach in other words, the scribes and the Pharisees were wimps, but this is for real men. How does it say it in God's word? They were astonished at Jesus because he didn't teach them like the scribes and the Pharisees.
He produced action.
He taught them as having authority, one having authority. He was not a wimp. He was not, this is not for wimps. This is for real men. And I'm talking to women too. Real men. I'm not talking in a gender. I'm talking somebody that exhibits strength. There were women that acted above the men, like Jael, like Deborah. And even in the New Testament, there were strong women. And there were always these strong women that followed Jesus around and were supportive to him. And that made, sometimes women are stronger than men. They can take more pain. They can do the baby delivery pain level of 10. And I thought I wasn't feeling too good when I had 3 on my finger. But I'm not talking a difference as to gender. I'm talking about having strength. Exceptional strength.
I was talking to some people one night, and some people were new and some people were real new. And I mentioned some of these scriptures literally right here. And a woman took my head off over it, that how could I even tell people these kinds of things? You don't tell that to people until they're way over and know many, many things. That's what she told me. And she screamed at me. And she was mad. And the lady that was there was sitting like this. She was just hearing him. And this lady was going off protecting. So there's a side, there's another side of this. Since it is in the first part, anything in the first part you can say because Jesus said it. So, and then to say, no, you can't say it is to say, oh, you can't say what Jesus said to people.
Well, there's a sifting as to who, I'm not talking sifting like through a sieve, but Jesus said some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell among stones, some seed fell among tares, and some fell among good ground. And
in the first part where we've read already, he did that a little bit, even a bigger picture. He said few and many.
But go, now let's go back the other way about the good ground. So what the good ground is, it's got deep soil. And we found this method of growing things. One time I grew some strawberries, and then I grew some tomatoes in a hothouse in deep soil. So the roots would go deep, and I'm talking feet deep of topsoil. And is this alluding, or is it just shouting out, you're going to need a good foundation right off the bat to stand all these?
You have to do this first.
Yeah.
That first.
Not by the wayside. You can't be concerned about what people say and think about you.
No, got to do this deep first.
Yeah.
Go deep first.
Yeah, you can't be sown on rocky, you know, a bunch of men's ideas. This is going to call for real men with real action. And I'm talking women too, just a son of God. And then it's going to cause that you can't let other things get in the way, like, you know, the tares and so on, but you need deep soil, a good foundation.
And you know, it's back over here, we read this already in Matthew 7. It says, whoever hears these things and done them, he was like a wise man that built his house on a rock. And it just said that he built his house on a rock. It didn't get any more into the detail right there, but I know later in another book it says more about building that house on a rock. Just like you're saying, it's sequenced.
Some of these answers are already back here. If we are doing these,
It starts earlier,
and yes. Now it's going to tell you what kind of trials, and Steve mentioned the Beatitudes. You're going to be happy. You don't know it now. When you're going through the trial, you're feeling really happy, right? Mm-hmm. And you're really looking ahead. No, you're miserable.
Yeah.
And it hasn't yet explained the levels of happy and what's not going to be happy and what is going to be happy. It hasn't explained that yet. I can see these are layers. But a lady did. She screamed at me. Stopped the whole meeting. Screamed at me. And I just went,
be exceedingly happy, for great is your reward in heaven. It says that.
I mean, I'm glad I didn't let it make me feel guilty because I was not doing wrong.
Yeah.
Didn't make the moment any better, but.
Did we read till 42? Yep, we'd read mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
Okay, let's do chapter 11. Steve, you going to do that? Explain that to us?
Sure. How far did?
Oh, let's do a couple of contexts. Read 1 through 6 to start with, please.
Okay. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples.
Okay, so this is he's grooming these hand-picked men. This is not just, these are the 12. Mm-hmm. So the rest of us are off the hook, right? No. But he's picking out, you know, to these people, if you really want to go in the ministry, count the costs. This is what we're going through. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Okay. I'll start from the top. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me.
Well, that lines out. Actually, that helps understand yesterday's and today's podcast, you know, about this service, the discipleship. And let's keep going. Go chapter 11, read 7 to 19, please. Unless, did you see anything in that that stood out to you, Steve, before we go on?
Oh, just that this list was very similar to like the one that was in when Jesus sent his disciples out to do those things. Yeah. 7 to 19?
Yep.
As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?
So now he's talking to the... See, he was getting really nitty-gritty with the disciples, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Really. But now he's going to talk to the crowds again. And go ahead.
What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of the heavens is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of the heavens suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the others and say, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.
Another tax collector, huh? A friend of tax collectors.
Slam.
Isn't that interesting?
It's a slam.
But it's really, it's important to us that even that we watch our attitude towards everybody and don't become like the religious people. They have their favorites and their unfavorites.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be really careful. That's a really strong reminder to me. Don't pick out a particular person. It's each person and their walk. It's not a group of people that we want to label or something like that. So what stood out there, Steve?
That's just interesting that Jesus brings in John the Baptist into this and reminding them who was sent and who sent him.
And he was the only one born filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb and a great prophet to go before Jesus. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.